Ritu Shahi. Did I get it right? Praise God. Now, once I introduce him and have him come up, I'm sure he'll give us maybe a more extensive list of his background. But I know that now he's working in this ministry called How Ministries, House of Worship. And they're planting churches and working through social media and worship bands and parenting seminars all over the place. So I just want to ask them to come up, for Vikram and his wife Ritu. I know she's going to bless us with some music. And just have them share what the Lord has placed on your heart for us this morning. God bless you. Come on up.
Hello, everyone. Greetings in Jesus' name. It's a joy for us to be here, and it's our second time. And we have many friends here whom we know, and we stayed with them, and we have fellowship with them, and worship the Lord with them. So it's a beautiful thing to be together with the saints of God. Amen. And we thank God we arrived in U.S. on 18th of January. And we have been traveling since in different states, and we are seeing that the glorious thing that is God is doing all around. One thing I want to say, Jesus is still on the throne.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And as long as he is on the throne, you have hope, and this nation have hope, and God has great things in store. You know, one scripture that I'm going to share this morning, and I'll do that after worship, but let me share that scripture, and I'll build up on that. And Bible says that's in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. And that says, "Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." If God is asking us not to give up, will God ever give up? He'll never give up. He'll never give up on this nation. He will never give up on this city. He'll never give up your life. Whatever you need, He'll always there by your side. And He is ever faithful. Amen. And over to Ritu, and I will continue with that later on. Thank
Praise
you so much.
Lord.
Thank you, Pastor, for having us here. Thank you.
Thank
you,
you so much.
God so much.
Praise the Lord, everyone. I believe, as the word of God says, the one who is in us is greater than the one who is in this world. How many of you believe this morning? As we were singing that song, that Lion of Judah is inside of us. One day I had experience, and God allowed me to see who lives inside of me. And I saw luminous light coming off out of my chest, and I heard the lion roaring. Hallelujah! God is in us. Amen. His spirit is in us. We have mighty God with us, and we serve a mighty God. I'm going to sing one song, and the song is called In Jesus' Name. As Pastor was sharing, that in Jesus' name we have victory, in Jesus' name we have hope. And Jesus said to his disciple, "Go, and in my name you heal the sick, you cast out demons, you raise the dead." Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We worship you. God is fighting for us. God is on our side. He has overcome. Yes, He has overcome. We will not be shaken. We will not be moved. Jesus, you are here. God is fighting for us. God is on our side. He has overcome. Yes, He has overcome. We will not be shaken. We will not be moved. Jesus, you are here. Carrying our burdens, covering our shame. He has overcome. Yes, He has overcome. We will not be shaken. We will not be moved. Jesus, you are here. I will sing. I will not die. The resurrection power of Christ alive in me. And I am free in Jesus' name. I will live. I will not of you believe that in Jesus' name we have victory? In Jesus' name we have healing. Hallelujah. I just want to share with you one testimony. One day I twisted my feet and I was just thinking, Lord, can't you heal me? And that night I slept. And next morning when I woke up at 6 a.m., there was pain in my feet. In my foot, actually. And then I was thinking, Lord, can't you heal me? And then I slept again. And between 6 a.m. to 7 a.m., something happened. I had a vision from the Lord. And I saw myself sitting on my bed. And there came a person. I could not see his face, but I could see him wearing a off-white robe. And he asked me, what happened to your foot? I said, it's paining. And he said, okay. And then I saw supernaturally something came out, like liquid kind of thing came out of my foot. And as I woke up, there was no pain. I was completely healed. Last night I had pain, but morning it was completely gone. And I jumped out of my bed. My husband was in kitchen. He was making his coffee. And I asked him, Jesus came and he healed me. I believe there is healing in the name of Jesus. Our God is awesome God. Amen. And he can do what we never imagined, what we never thought in our mind. So as we are singing this song, just declare over our life that I will live, I will not die. I will have abundant life. I will live in victory. I will live in healing. I will walk in supernatural health. I will walk in divine strength. Amen. I will live. I will not die. The resurrection power of Christ alive in me. And I am free in Jesus' name. I will live. I will. Revealed, and I am here in Jesus' name. God is fighting for us. God is on our side. He has overcome. Yes, he has overcome. We will not be shaken. We will not be moved. Jesus, you are. I will live. I will live. I will not die. The resurrection power of Christ alive in me, and I am free in Jesus' name. I will live, I will not die, I will declare and lift you high, Christ revealed, and I am. Fighting for us, pushing back the darkness, lighting up the kingdom that cannot be shaken. In the name of Jesus, enemies defeated, and we will shout it out, God is fighting for us, pushing back the darkness, lighting up the kingdom that cannot be shaken. In the name of Jesus, enemies defeated, and we will shout it out, God is fighting for us, pushing back the darkness, lighting up the kingdom that cannot be shaken. In the name of Jesus, enemies defeated, and we will shout it out. How many of you say this morning, God is fighting for us, pushing back the darkness, lighting up the kingdom that cannot be shaken. In the name of Jesus, enemies defeated, and we will shout it out, shout it. God is fighting, God is fighting, pushing back the, lighting up the, that cannot be. In the name of, enemies defeated, and we will shout it out, shout in. Hallelujah. God is fighting, pushing back the, lighting up the, that cannot be. In the name of enemies, and we will shout it out, hallelujah. Amen. if God is with us, who can be against us? Amen. There is one Punjabi song, and you might not understand this song, but you can ask Holy Spirit to give you interpretation. I'm going to sing in my own language, one verse. I hope you all will enjoy in the presence of the Lord. You can clap.
Jithe vi main jaawa mere naal chal dao, jithe vi khalowa mere naal khad dao, jithe vi main jaawa mere naal chal dao, jithe vi khalowa mere naal khad dao, meri pana pana hai o zindagi badalda hai pyar sanu karda hai apne awadiyan to nahi mu karda hai zindagi badalda hai pyar sanu karda hai apne awadiyan to nahi mu karda hai ਉਹਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਜ਼ਿੰਦਗੀ ਦੀ ਵੱਖਰੀ ਪਛਾਣ ਉਹਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਜ਼ਿੰਦਗੀ ਦੀ ਵੱਖਰੀ ਪਛਾਣ ਉਹ ਹੈ ਮੇਰੀ ਪਨਾ ਉਹ ਹੈ ਮੇਰੀ ਪਨਾ
seated in the presence of God. The meaning of that song is, God is my refuge, my fortress. Wherever I go, He goes with me. Wherever I stand, He stands by my side. Amen. So He never leaves us, He never forsakes us, and He's always there for us. So I'm from a place called, a state called Punjab. I'm from India, and it's our, I think, fifth visit to U.S., and we thank God for that. And we are serving God in North India, and we have been doing a couple of other things around the world. In 2002, I came to know the Lord. I am from a Sikh family background. You must be knowing Sikh religious people who wear turban. And I came to know the Lord in year 2002 while I moved to UK in year 2002 to get settled in that nation. And I was there for just a couple of months, and in the midst of that, I was working in Scotland. I got a good job over there, and someone invited me to church. That was my first time in the church, and when I went to the church, I heard the gospel. I heard about the love of Christ, and even as Christ said, forgive your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who do evil to you. And when I heard that, I was shocked. I said, what kind of God is this? Because till that day, I had only seen gods who are holding some swords or some weapons, and they say that we have come to destroy sinners. But when I heard that day that Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy sinners, I came to save them, hope came in my life. And I said, is this the one I was looking for? Because the reason I said I was looking for was, when I was 13 years old, my grandmother passed away, and I went for her funeral service. And as we were cremating her, I was sitting very close to the fire, and it was really getting hot, and people were moving a little backward. And then as I was sitting there, I went somewhere else. And I saw that I was in the same place, in the same village where they were cremating my grandmother. And some people were bringing a dead body to burn in that same place. So I wanted to know who that person is whom they are going to burn. So I zoomed in the vision that I saw, and I saw that was me. And then I came back to my senses, and I was so afraid. My heart was beating so fast. And from that day onwards, I was so afraid of death. I was not afraid of dying, actually. I was afraid of, is there any judgment after death? Will there be any punishment I have to go through? Because even when I was 13 years old, I knew I'm a sinner. And there is a God out there who will judge everyone, and he will judge me too. So I was so afraid. Even that night when I went back home, I didn't want to sleep. Because just few weeks back, I saw a Hindi movie, Indian movie. In that Indian movie, the actress, her mother died while she was sleeping. So in the morning, the actress was asking her mom to get up, and mom was dead while sleeping. And then she was crying. And I thought, what if I die while I'm sleeping? And they will burn my body tomorrow, and I don't know what I'll face. So I was so afraid of death. From that day onward, so a desire came in my heart to know the truth and to know, is there any way by which I can be saved? So I tried so many things. My grandmother was a Hindu. My grandfather was a Sikh. Because of that, our family was so much mix of both religions. So I started with palmistry, meditation, self-hypnotism. I tried to bring out my spirit somehow so that I could know the spirit world around there. I wanted to know the truth. What is the truth? So anyway, so I tried different religions, went to different places. So 6-7 years went by. After 6-7 years, I was so confused because every religion was taking me into different direction. Some religions said there are 330 million gods. Some religions said something else, and some said something else. And some religions told me different things about life after death. So someone will say there is heaven and hell. Another religion said, no, you'll become a mosquito, and then you'll become a frog, and then you'll become a tree, and you become a plant. And you know. And I thought, what if this mosquito around my room is my grandfather or great-grandfather? You know. So I was just thinking that way. So I was not, that, you know, to get into it. I said, no, this can't be true. So now I was 18 years old. I started pretending that I am an atheist, but I was not. Because I knew deep in my heart there is a God out there who is the creator of everything. So one day I was going on my bike from one place to another place. I was wearing a helmet. And that was a 1 hour, 15 minutes journey on a motorcycle. And I was wearing a helmet and I was crying out loud. I was crying. God, I know I'm a sinner. God, I tried to know the truth. I want to know who you are. But I have failed, and I know one thing, I will never know you. But I have 3 requests, and I want you to answer that prayer before you throw me in if there is any place called hell. So I knew as long as I'm alive, that's what I thought those days. As long as I am alive, I will never know the truth. I will never know God, and he will punish me, and only after death I will know what was the truth. So I asked him 3 things. What was, how and why you created heaven and earth? That was my first question. Second was, heaven means, I was talking about the stars and all that. So, and the second was that, why you created me? What was the purpose of my life? So answer me, because I felt in my heart there is a purpose for every man which no one has any idea about. And the third question was, I want to know who you are. These were the 3 questions. So after that, I stopped seeking God. And I stopped going to any religious place. And I will just stay outside. If anyone goes inside, I will stay outside. And they will ask me, why are you not coming inside? And I will say, I'm confused. And they say, what? Because the truth was, I didn't know if it's the right thing or wrong thing for me to go and bow down to them. But other thing was, I knew that I'm a sinner. And I said, I can fool you. I cannot fool God. I may be doing a religious thing, but I know what kind of life I am living. So that's why I will just stay outside. But the other thing was that I was not sure, am I worshiping a right God or not? If that person sitting inside is God or not, I had no idea about that. So now a few years went by, and I moved to UK, Scotland. I started working there. And there, first time I heard the gospel, hope came in my life. And I said, what if this is whom I was looking for? And then some pastor invited me to house. First time I heard word pastor in my life. And he opened the Bible. He shared so many scriptures. I asked him those 3 questions. He answered all three questions from the Bible. I was so excited and happy. I said, I want to repent of my sins. I want to give my life to the Lord. He led me in sinner's prayer, and I went into a trance straight away, and I saw a robe, a white robe, coming towards me in a trance. So I wanted to open my eyes. I was not able to open my eyes. The Holy Spirit just was all over me, and I saw a white robe, a beautiful white robe. And then somehow after a few minutes, I opened my eyes. I told him, this is what I saw. And he showed me from the Bible, he has given you the robe of righteousness. God has declared that you are not a sinner anymore. You are the righteous child of God. Amen. Amen. What a beautiful thing it is. When we give our life to the Lord, he declares us righteous. So I was so happy, and I said, wow, I don't have to. Now I'm not afraid of death. I'm not going to end up in hell. My sins are forgiven. I was so happy that day. Next day, I went back to my workplace. As I was standing there, I heard the audible voice of God. And that voice said, leave this job. Leave this country. Go back to India. You will build me an army. So in the beginning, for 2 hours, I was so excited, because you will be excited if you hear the voice of God. I was so excited. But when I started taking the voice of God seriously, then the real difficulty started. You know, sometimes people hear the word and will say, shout, amen, yes, 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 Lord, use me. But when you know the price that you have to pray and the, you know, the step you have to take. So I knew, and I was very serious about hearing the voice of God. And I said, all right. And I started counting the price. And I said, can't you use me in UK? Why do I have to go back to India? You know, there are so many difficult people out there, and my relatives, I don't know what they'll do about me. So anyway, God's voice didn't change. For 5 days, his voice was ringing in my ears. On the 5th day, I resigned from my job. I went back to India, and I faced a lot of persecution. I had to lose my property, everything. I shifted from one city to another city, and I was left with nothing. And today, if I have anything, even if a small pen I have, it's not any inheritance that I have received from my fathers. This is all from the Lord. I came to a place of emptiness where I was zero. I had no money left, nothing else, nothing. All I had was the name of Jesus. And he is ever faithful. Amen. So I'm standing here today. It's because, only because of him, he is faithful. Amen. So let me read that scripture once again, as I read in the beginning. And it's from Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. And it talks about, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season, everyone say due season, we will reap if we do not give up. If we do not give up. If we do not give up. So everyone is looking for a reward from God. Everyone has a need in their life. And we ask God, we come to church, we pray, and we ask other people to pray for us, and we start doing good. Doing good is walking in the ways of God. Doing good is believing God and trusting him. Doing good is not denying his name. You remember the story of what happened in the book of Daniel, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they were told that we will throw you in this fiery furnace if you don't bow down to what king has said. And they said, we're not going to worship any other god. And we are not going to bow down. Even if we have to die, we die. You know what they said? They said, God is able to save us. But even if it doesn't, we will not bow down. Many people, they have a different kind of commitment with God. They'll say, God, if you do this, I will trust you. If you do this, I will love you all the days of my life. But these three young people, they were not like that. They were not throwing anything before God. God, okay, if you love me, show me, and then I will know. If you provide for me, then I will know. If I get this job, then I will know. If my relative gets saved, then I will know you really love me. If this person gets healed, I will really know that you love me. They were not like that. They said, we know that our God is able to save us, but even if it doesn't happen, even if he decides not to do it, even if it's our time to go and be with the Lord, we will still worship him. A few years back, me and my family, we were traveling to very North India. That means the Himalayas. And Himalayas is not like hills over here, which you can just start crossing and finish in a day or half or whatever. You know, Himalaya mountain range is so huge and high mountains. So me and my wife and my two sons and one of my friend and few other people were in another vehicle. We went for outreach program to a place called Leh Ladakh. Leh Ladakh, there are hardly any trees. It's like a mountain desert, like not many trees. And way up high, so it takes you 5 or 6 days to get used to of air, because air is very thin over there. So it's up there and all the way into the hills and mountains. So it was a 3 days journey. So every day, like if we drive 10 hours, so a total 30 or 34 hours it will take. So all the way up the mountains, going up and up and up and up. And first day we finished our journey, second day journey started. And as we started, after half an hour, a big SUV came and hit our car. And because driver, I think he was driving whole night, and he closed his eyes and then came and hit our car. And we all got very badly injured, and a few small injuries for us. I had my finger fracture and a few other things. But my elder son, who was sleeping at the back seat, his head hit the window of that car, and his head opened from front. And I saw him bleeding, but what we saw was he was not able to hold his head. So we didn't know what's happening, so we were all in shock. And then ambulance came, and we were in up mountains. And you don't have good hospitals over there. From one hospital to another hospital and another hospital. And we were all injured and very tired and in pain. And I was sitting on the front seat of the ambulance. My son was at the back, and few people were controlling him because he was in so much pain. So he was shaking all the time. And plus the hills and the mountains and the broken roads and everything. So it was so difficult. So I was sitting on the front seat, and I was wondering what really happened. So I was trying to calculate everything. Oh, what happened? You know, because I was still in a shock. And I started talking with God, and I started praying unto God. And I said, Lord, I don't know what will happen to my son, because I knew this is something very serious that has happened to him. And I started speaking to God. I said, Lord, if you save my son, if he lives, I will serve you with all my heart. But if he dies, I will serve you double. I said, Lord, this is my commitment. My love for you is not because you are going to perform something great in my life. My love for you is because I know one sign, only one sign, that is the cross where you died for my sins. I don't need any other thing for me to know that you love me. I said, Lord, even if he dies, I know one thing, even this will turn for good for your kingdom. I was speaking to God that time. And I was serious. I said, if he dies, I will serve you double. I said, this is my commitment. So anyway, to make the story short, we took him to hospital, and he was in so much pain. And while they were doing his MRI, so the person who was doing the MRI made a mistake, big mistake, very big mistake. Because he was shaking and he was in so much of pain, and they were not able to control him inside the machine. So MRI showed everything is okay. So for 1 week he was there in the hospital, and they then put a hard collar around his neck. And that was Friday when he was released from the hospital. But he was in so much pain, so we have to lift him up very slowly. And this was every 10 minutes he needed to be lift up and then back. And at night we had other people helping him. Daytime, me and my wife and other people were helping him because he was in so much pain. So after 1 week, they sent him back from the hospital. They said, take good care of him and bring him back after 15 days. We'll do another checkup and see what happened and how he's improving. So this was Friday. After 1 week, he came back from the hospital. And this was Friday, and on Sunday there was going to be a service, and one of our church is just in the same, a house is in the same campus where the church is. So this was Sunday. I was all ready and I to go to the church hall, and my son followed me, and I said, why are you coming? No, I want to come to church. I said, okay. So I said, be very careful, like this. He was coming and so much pain, and then he said, I want my keyboard. I said, why? I'm going to play the keyboard. I said, you cannot play the keyboard. It's a very serious injury. He said, no, I want to play it. I said, no, you're not going to play it. No, I want. I said, okay. And inside I was feeling so happy. I said, Lord, thank you. What more do I need? Instead of complaining, why did this happen to me? Why God didn't protect me? My son still wants to sing for the Lord. And I asked the team, I said, he needs a keyboard. So I had a special chair for him. I arranged a chair so that he can go backward and then again he can sit and play the keys. So for one song, he'll play the keys and second song, he'll relax. So he was not doing it on the church stage. There was a side room where he was playing it because we didn't want people to get distracted because everyone was shocked because of what happened to us. So we didn't want the service to get distracted, but he was playing. Only later on people found out, they were wondering, who is playing the keys? What he was in, because they were not expecting him to play the keys. So anyway, 3 months went by, and I was taking him regularly to the doctor. And after 3 months, there was no improvement. He was not able to turn his head towards the right. And still there was so much pain. And doctor said, let's do another CT scan. And they did a CT scan and found out his C2 is broken and out of displaced. They said, I don't understand how his fingers are moving. He should be paralytic by now, according to medical science. But anyway, and I said, doctor, what to do now? They said, it's too late. If it was less than 3 months, we would have, you know, cut the neck from here and put a rod from the front. And now we have to do another treatment. But because of that treatment, he will be restricted all his life. He'll hardly able to move his neck for around 40% or something. So I inquired so many doctors. I inquired a doctor from US and Australia. I had one doctor. He's an ortho scientist. So he writes books. So I inquired from him also. He said, if you want to wait for another 3 months, you can. But in the end, you have to do the back surgery. And they'll put a plate and screws and everything. And his neck will be restricted like this all his life. I said, okay. So our commitment didn't change. My son's commitment didn't change. In that day, in those days, he started learning how to make music and he made a song. You know, the bless the Lord, O my soul. And doesn't matter what happens in my life, I'll still worship you. He translated that song in Hindi and in his pain, he sang that song. It's on the YouTube. So after 3 months, I took him back to the doctor. No changes. I called the Australian doctor. I said, can I wait another 6 months? He said, you can wait, but in case if he falls, he can die. No one thing. The neck is broken. So make sure he wears a hard collar and doesn't fall. I said, fine. Waited another 6 months. Prayed. Nothing happened. Next 6 months, again waited. 1.5 year went by. Now it was in much more bad shape than before. And I called the doctor again. I said, can I have another 6 months? He said, same thing. If he falls, he can die. He has to be very careful. But in the midst of that, he was singing, he was praising, he was making music, do whatever he can do for the Lord. And 2 years went by. I was in US. Me and my wife, we were ministering here. And then we, knowing that he has to go for further studies, I decided, now we are going to go for the operation. Let doctors do what they want to do. So I told my son, I set an appointment for him in the India's best hospital. Because that treatment could only be done in the best hospital of India because it was a very serious surgery. And I said, son, doctor has told me do these tests and I'm asking him for date. So I have changed my tickets back to India. Your mom will do rest of the ministry and she will follow me and I will come and help you get operated. So that's what we decided because we had some commitments in the US and we said, let's do that and Lord will take care of the rest. So I called my son. So he said, okay, I'm going. I said, let me pray for you. And I said, Lord, I've still not given up on you. You are still able. And I tell you one thing. Even if he goes through the surgery, I will still worship you. I will still praise you. Nothing will change. So he went for his test. Next day, report came. When I read the report, now I was half doctor because I was reading reports all these 2 years. So when I read that report, nothing. Not even a single mark in his neck if anything ever happened. I forwarded those reports to the Australian doctor, to a few Indian doctors, and few other different people I met, and within 5 minutes, that senior Australian doctor, while he was at his work or something, because he was so shocked to see those reports, he called me. He said, "I don't know what happened, but this is nothing but the miracle of God." Amen. Amen. After a few minutes, I had a message from a doctor, from that senior doctor from a big Indian hospital. He messaged me, and I still have a message. He said, "I don't see any problem with him. He's completely fine. You don't have to bring him for surgery." I said, "At least, okay, I'm coming anyway to India for a checkup." He said, "No, no, don't come to India. No need to come and show me. He is completely fine." After that day, I have never gone and seen any doctor. Hallelujah. So Bible talks about not giving up on God. Our commitment should be such that, "Lord, even if it doesn't happen, we know you are able to do it. But nothing is going to change in my life. I'm not going to stop loving you. I'm not going to live like the people of Israel who were always complaining. They saw so many miracles. They saw the Red Sea open in two. They saw how the judgment of God came upon Pharaoh and the people of Egypt. They saw that how God performed signs and miracles and brought them out. They saw that how when they left Egypt, they were not empty-handed. They had all the silver and gold and all the expensive jewelry. They were so rich when they came out. But even if a small thing comes in their life, where is God? Moses, why you brought us out from that place? We were fine as slaves." You know how they were? And they all were destroyed. Their love and their faith or their commitment towards the Lord was just because he's doing something good to them. And fine. God is not man. We can't deal with him as a man. He's Almighty God. He always have a big picture. He always have a big story. We have Dimpy with us today and a very close family, and she's like our spiritual daughter. And they have one relative, and they're daughter had used to have thalassemia. And I met that family in year 2002 when I came back to India, and they brought the girl to me for prayer. I prayed for the girl. Every 15 days they had to go and get the blood thing done, because the red blood cells will really, the counting will come down and all that. So they came to me. I prayed for the girl, and her face was full yellowish. So I prayed for the girl, and the face turned red, and the parents were looking and shocked and amazed. And next day they went for a checkup. Blood went up, and even doctors were shocked. So prayed for the girl. She got healed, and for a few months or a year or so, she was completely healed and everything is all right. But later on again, the problem started again. So I prayed. Nothing happened. I prayed again. Nothing happened. And two and a half years went by. We saw God performing miracles. That's when many of their relatives came to the Lord. But now the problem came back. And I prayed and nothing was happening. And then she was in her last stage. The girl's mother called me. She said, "Come, she's very sick. And she might not live." I said, "Okay." But in my heart, I was also confused. "Lord, why am I not receiving an answer this time? You did it before. Can't you do that again?" And the Lord told me, "You are not going to go." I said, "Okay." I said, "Lord, everyone will get upset. All the time, whenever they called me, I was going. They will say, now this time when it's a really serious situation, he's not coming." But Lord word was saying, "You're not going to go now." I said, "Fine." After three days, girl died. And then I went and met them after a few days. Even the funeral service, I was there with them, but sat with the family and asked them what happened during the last day. And they said that we were all in pain and crying, and she told us, "Don't cry. Jesus has sent his angels. I am so happy. I am going to be with the Lord. After me, Mama, Papa, don't cry." And the girl went to be with the Lord. So anyway, I was not sure. I said, "Okay, praise the Lord. Girl is happy. Family saw it. They are still in faith. But okay,
I don't understand the bigger picture. What happened? After 2 or 3 months, the girl's mother got pregnant again because she had some issues in pregnancy. So now, and they came to me and they said, can you please pray for us? And I am pregnant. And the husband said, my wife is pregnant. Can you pray for her? Because after 1 month, normally we've seen the child aborts by itself. I said, okay, I'll pray. I prayed. 2 months went by, 3 months, 4 months. Every month they were calling me, asking for prayer. 5 months, 6 months, 7, 8, 9. And then a daughter was born. So this in itself was a miracle. Everyone saw it. But the greatest miracle was, the day girl died, it was only a few hours difference. This girl was born on the same day. Like it was only the midnight difference, only a few hours difference. And the news went out and everyone said, well, the day they were thinking about their girl who went to be with the Lord after 1 year, just after that few hours, another daughter of God gave them, a beautiful daughter. So I was able to see the bigger picture. I said, Lord, anything that happens to us, you have a bigger picture. How many of you are encouraged by the life of Stephen in the Bible? Are you encouraged whenever you read about him and how a young man, and even while they were stoning him, he didn't deny Jesus and he said, Father, forgive them. And some people say, oh, it's so hard to forgive. I know, but if you only understand the love of God, then that's not hard. And we rejoice while reading his story. And wow, and that gives us so much faith and not to give up on God. And you know how we are so blessed. So God was seeing the bigger picture. God allowed it. There are things that God allows. And we are not able to understand why. Few years back, we had COVID and still people say it's still there. And everything, there was lockdown. I was in US and I was going to speak in one of the biggest conference ever in US. So there is a Billy Graham auditorium in Chicago and all the churches came together. They organized and my wife was the worship leader. I was going to deliver the message. So I was in US now, and just before, 2 days before that, they canceled everything because lockdown was happening. So someone told me, quickly, you book your ticket and rush, go back to India. So anyway, I changed my ticket dates, went to Chicago airport to catch a flight, and they canceled our flight, and they shifted us to another flight. So we went to the another flight counter, and that flight also got canceled, and then I had to book a new flight, and we took both separate routes. So my wife, we were supposed now going to fly from UK, Russia and India, and I took another route, New York and then India, so that at least one of us should be there with the children. So I remember it was so hard, it was so horrible. By the time I arrived in India, they were taking all the people from the airport to army camps for quarantine. Thank God my flight was the only flight. They said, these people, let them go. But all other were crying and they were so afraid and there was so much fear. And when we reached our home, they posted a big poster outside our house. This house is quarantined. And the news went out all city. And people were even afraid to go by our road. One day, one lady, our neighbors, they went to see a doctor. And while she was there, and the doctor asked her, which area are you from? They said, I'm from that area. And there were some people sitting there who came to see the doctor. They all ran outside. They said, we know there is one house, the people are quarantined. So imagine how fearful that was. And every day we had calls from the government. Are you inside? Are you okay? Any fever? Make sure you don't go out. Because for us, if we go out, they'll put us in prison. They were beating people with like anything. If you see some videos how it was horrible. So during those days when this was going by, few months went by, and the Lord spoke to us, go back to US. I said, Lord, US is locked down, and hardly only few flights. I said, but if you say, all right, fine. I called a few of my pastor's friends in the U.S. and I said, me and my wife, we are coming. They said, what? Everything is locked down. People are dying. But I said, Lord spoke to us. We don't know. He's not spoken to us. I said, fine, maybe then it's not you I have to go to. So anyway, I called my friend. He said, fine, you can come to my house. We ended up in Chicago, and they didn't allow us to go out from the airport, and they were wondering, what are we doing here when people are dying? But all we were doing is we were just obeying the Lord. People said, you can die. America is horrible, and people are dying every day, and this and that. And why are you going there? I said, Lord spoke to us. If Lord has spoken, it's his responsibility. He has to take care of us. If we die, we die, fine. But better we die obeying the Lord rather than disobeying him. He always have a bigger picture. So sometimes God will ask us to do things we cannot understand. And we obeyed God, and we ended up in one place, and there was no Asian church. I mean to say, no Indian Pakistani church over there. I stayed in my friend's house, and I was supposed to be there for 3 weeks. And on Friday, I asked him, I said, can we have a small service, you and your other family? They said, fine. The two families came. And next Sunday, I said, as we are here, we are so used to of having service every Sunday in India. Can we have another service next Sunday? More families came, and more families stayed. We ended up being there. My wife was there for 6 months. I was there for 4 months. And we started a church. Now they are having a church. Amen. Amen. So Indian Pakistani church, first church in that area. So sometimes, you know, for everything, there is a bigger picture. Don't ask God questions. If God asks you to do something, don't ask him, Lord, tell me first, tell me first. No, he'll not answer every time. He knows the bigger picture. And what if someone have a loss of something because they obeyed God? Still, there is a bigger picture. Back in India, there is a state called Kashmir, and it's a very difficult place, and we go sometimes over there, and I shared last time how my friend was murdered by the militants. He was the evangelist. I was the Bible teacher. I used to go to the underground Bible school to teach people. And the landlord, even landlord had no idea what we are doing there. They thought we are teaching them Quran. So we had some Qurans over there, but we were teaching them the Bible. And so my friend was the evangelist. So militants came and AK-47 on his heart and killed him. So it's a very difficult place. So I remember once I was there, and I went to that underground Bible school. So I was teaching there, and this was my first day. And my friend Muhammad Yusuf, he told me, he said, you're not going to stay with us today. You're going to stay with someone else. I said, fine. So the guy came. He was around 6 feet, 1 inch or 2 inch tall, a long beard, like a Islamic clothes, salwar kameez, and with blue eyes. He said, assalamu alaikum. I said, wa alaikum assalam. And I look into his eyes. It doesn't look Kashmiri. Blue eyes. Can't be Kashmiri. But his language was so good, Urdu. And he was so good. I said, no, must be a Kashmiri. So anyway, I sat in his vehicle. I reached his house, and I saw his wife wearing a burqa and a daughter wearing a burqa. And I couldn't know because the face was not covered. I said, what is happening here? So anyway, they showed me my room. I kept my things there. And I came back to the living room where everyone was sitting, and his wife and his children and him. And he said, you're confused, nah? I said, yes, I'm so confused. He said, we are missionaries from US. God spoke to us and called us for this land. And the reason we are dressed up like this is just for people to know we are your brothers and sisters. And I said, how many children you are? He said, this girl wearing burqa, my daughter, and this is my son. And I had another son. I said, what happened to him? He died. Why? Because he was not used to of this water, and he got sick and he died. And there was no good hospital. I said, then what did you do? You flew the body back to US? He said, no. We buried him in the same Muslim place. And the reason we did it, for them to know that we are brothers. Just so that I can reach out. He said, because of that, because of my son's death, many people from the community gave their life to the Lord. Just by seeing how he buried his son in that Islamic place, their heart was open. Oh, if we can do that, why can't we listen to what he, the message he wants to give to us? Bigger picture.
I've not seen them from last few years. I'm sure he's still there. He said, we live here, we'll die here. And I said, which school your children go to? He said, we don't send our children to any school. I said, what? He said, no school. I said, why? He said, because here they teach Islam and everything. And there is no good school here. So what do? We teach them at home. I said, wow. I felt so small. I said, Lord, I have done nothing. Wow. I said, Lord, what a commitment. He's not, God, how can I, my son die? I came all the way. I obeyed you. No. Because those who know the Lord, those who truly, truly know the Lord, they have a different language. Those who truly don't know him, I'm sorry. I'm used to. I should have asked before. I'm sorry. I'm so used to moving. Because he knew the Lord. And that's why they never complained. There was a bigger picture. And they just trusted God. God, we don't know why our son died. But whatever will happen to us will turn for good. Either for us or either for the kingdom. That is what is more important. But will turn for good. So many people gave their life to the Lord. Amen. Amen. That is the commitment we should have towards the Lord. If we really know the Lord, doesn't matter what happens, we'll never complain. Difficulty will not complain. We'll never doubt his love. God, I don't think you love me. It's the cross, one sign he has given to us. He died for us. What more do we need? Bible says, yeah, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We don't need any more sign from him. Lord, show me a sign. Give me $1 billion. Give me 1 million at least. If I am able to buy this house, then I will really know that you love me. We don't need any more signs. What more do we need to see? He died on the cross. And that was not because of any mistake he did or any sin he has committed. It was only because of you and me. Only if there was one person, just me, a sinner, he would have said, oh, I'm a good shepherd. Even one sheep is lost. I will go down and lay down my life for that one sheep. Amen. Bible says, do not stop in doing good. Do not stop. Oh, why should I love the Lord? Why should I go to church? Why should I praise him and love him? Why should I do that? God has not shown me any sign. Yeah, he has already shown. We don't need any more sign. Do not give up in doing good. Do not. God never gives up on us. Even when we walk away from him, he will go and bring us back. He's a good shepherd. He'll not leave us. He'll go and bring us back. He'll say, no, my son is lost. My daughter is lost. I'll bring them back. And I'll bring them to my house in the fellowship of believers so that they can together worship and praise him. You know one thing the enemy hates. You want to know what that is? Fellowship of believers. I don't believe in... Yeah, I understand. There was a time and fine. Internet ministry started. But I don't believe in that. Bible talks about fellowship of believers. People of God coming together and praising him and worshiping him and sharing their good experiences they have from the Lord and encouraging one another. Amen. Even if you have a hurting story, that will encourage someone, definitely, I believe. When I share my stories, I have so many stories from my life. The things that we faced and the difficulties we went through. And the children we have to leave, even when our son was 9 months old. My wife had to leave 9 months old child.
and go and for the missions for 40 days. And by the time she was back after 40 days, he couldn't recognize the mom. So it took him 2 days to come back to the mom. So he had to really believe, okay, maybe this is my mom. You know, I have some fake memory. Maybe, yeah, after 2 days, then he was fine. All right, here is my mom. We had to go, and we had so many stories, and everything, all that. And it's not for our praise. It's only because we know that we have to keep on doing what our Lord has asked us to do. Doesn't matter what we face on the way, that doesn't matter. We are not loving our life the way we used to love it before. We love Lord so much. We're not really too much about myself and everyone make me happy and no one talks with me and calls me and I'm so lonely and these church people are just like that. So it's like just keeping eyes on yourself. We have to remove our lives, eyes from ourselves unto the Lord, and look into Lord's eyes. When you look into his eyes, you might see fire. When you look into his eyes, you might see mercy. You will see compassion. You will see tears in his eyes because of every person who is dying without Christ. He doesn't want anyone to perish. And in these days, Lord is looking for a generation. People who are not bless me, God. People who know already we are blessed in Christ. Even if we receive no prayer from anyone, doesn't matter. I don't know why some people, you know, run here and there. No, no. If you are in Christ, you are already blessed. But one thing we have to do now, become a blessing. God told Abraham, I will bless you. And I will make you a blessing. So in Christ, we receive all the blessings that God spoke over Abraham. And now the second part is, now we are going to be a blessing for our community, for our people. That means we have to sacrifice few things. That means we have to set some time apart to go and reach out to people, to preach the gospel, to help the needy, to encourage someone. It takes time. It means we may have to lose few hours from my job and few dollars, and just for the sake of reaching out to someone. And do it. If Lord is leading in your heart, please do it. And actually everyone should do it. You know what Jesus said? Follow me. What did he say? Follow me. I will make you fishers of men. One thing will happen when you follow. You will have a desire to reach out to the lost. And if you don't have desire, that means maybe we are not following him right. One thing is sure, you will have passion in your heart to reach out to the lost, to help someone. Because he changes our heart. I remember one day, I was so broken. And I was losing money from here and there, and family gone, and friends gone, and relative gone, and city gone, and house gone. And here I was in another city, hired a small room, purchased a small folding bed worth $7, and a gas stove worth $10, and started again. And I was going through all this very difficult phase of my life. I didn't know what it feels like when you want to have some nice chicken. And you're thinking, oh man, I don't have much money. Because I never faced anything like that before. And in the midst of all that, one thing that never changed was passion for souls. Never changed. It was just always there. Why? Because that is a fruit of following Christ. Automatically, your eyes will turn off from you and you will... Your eyes will be on the world. How can I be a blessing for this world? You will have compassion in your heart, and you will feel mercy for those people who have hurt you. This is automatic. This is the fruit of following Christ. So I remember one day, as I was going through this difficult time, So someone took so much of my money, and then I had very little left. And that day I was really broken, not just because the money is gone, but because I trusted that person who stole my money. So I was very broken. And that night I was down on my bed like this. I said, Lord, I'm so broken. But I want to say, I will still serve you. And I will still love you all the days of my life. But Lord knew I was broken. So what happened? That night, I had a dream. And the dream was so real. And during that dream, I heard someone knocking my door. Like this. So I opened the door. Jesus was standing there, full of glory and so glorious. And he asked me, he said, can I come inside? Wow, what a gentleman. What a Lord. He will never force himself over us. He will just say, do this. He'll not say, if you don't do this, I'll destroy. No. He said, can I come inside? I said, Lord, yes, this is your house. Please come. And I welcomed him like this. And he came and stood inside, and I was standing in front of him. And his right hand came towards me. And he said, son, give me your heart. And I stretched back my hand, and I took my heart out. And I saw my heart broken in pieces, a stony heart. I gave it to him. His hand took that heart and went backwards. And again came back. And I saw a new golden heart in his hands. He said, here, I give you a new heart. God knew I need a replacement. You know, sometimes, you know, bones, we need some replacement. You know, kidneys, people need replacement. And when heart was so broken, you know, he knew I need a replacement. And he said, here's a new heart. And the dream ended. Next morning, I was up. I felt so fresh, so energized. It's like, you know, you have taken out engine from a 30-year-old car and put a new latest engine in that. And then you're pressing a throttle. What has happened? You know, it's like running like anything. Because the Lord changed everything that day. No brokenness. No tears because of my brokenness. Yeah, they were tears because of the love of God. I still cry. I still have tears in my eyes. Not because of any brokenness. It's because I know how much He loves me. Maybe this afternoon time, this noon time, Lord wants to touch you. Maybe you need some change, and maybe heart is broken. Maybe any area of your life where you need physical healing, Lord is going to touch you right now. Maybe some of your organs are getting old and you're looking at yourself and I think I'm old and my organs are old. Lord said, don't worry. If I am the resurrection and life, if I can give new body to Sarah, I can give to you. If I can give her a womb to have child, I can give to you. If I can give strength to Abraham so that he can, you know, have, you know, be with the wife and have a son, so I can do for you. If I can raise a dead fourth day, I can do it for you. Amen. If I can give two eyes to someone who has no eyes, I can do it for you. So Lord is here. Amen. Shall we close our eyes? Just close your eyes. Just close your eyes. And ask the Lord, Lord, I need healing. I need some strength. Lord, make me what you want to make me. I surrender myself to you. I just surrender. I just surrender. I just surrender. Lord, I just want to make a commitment this morning unto you that I will not give up. I will keep on doing good. I'll keep on loving you. I'll keep on following you. I'll keep on fellowshipping with God's people. I will keep on coming to the church so that I can worship God together with saints. I will keep on helping the people. Even there'll be times when people will hurt you, the people you're trying to help. Yeah, what do you expect from people who are already hurt? Yes, they sometimes try to hurt us back. But that doesn't mean that we are going to stop there. we'll keep on going good. We'll keep on preaching the gospel. We'll keep on telling people about Jesus. We'll keep on being a testimony for Christ, living testimony of Christ, where people see that Christ is very much alive and living in us. Just lift up your hands. If you want to rise on your feet, come down on your knees, you can sit on your chair, completely fine. Feel free. But next 2-3 minutes, I'm going to ask the Lord to touch you in the area where you are asking Him to touch you. Maybe it's the surrender, it's the commitment, it's the healing, whatever it may be. I'm going to agree with you, and I'm going to ask the Lord to do it for you, whatever you are asking. Hallelujah. Just speak to Him, speak to Him, speak to Him for 1 minute. Just talk with Him. Open your mouth and speak to Him. Speak to Him, speak to Him. Just not in your heart. Release those words from your mouth. Whatever you want to tell Him. And maybe you walked away from God, and maybe you want to ask God to forgive you. And God, I am sorry, I walked away from you. And Lord, I started complaining, and you know, I thought I have nothing, and what good I have received. Lord, I was so blinded by the enemy. Lord, I come back to you and ask you for forgiveness. If any of you want to come forward to the altar, and you want to come forward and make a commitment unto the Lord, I will encourage you, please come forward. You want to come forward in the presence of God and make a fresh commitment unto the Lord, and in any area of your life. And if there is someone who wants to give his or her life to the Lord, yeah, this is a good time. And Jesus is here. And I want you to welcome you forward. If you don't want to come forward, you can stand on your place wherever you are, or come on your knees. I just want to pray for you.
Thank you for speaking the word of life into our hearts. Thank you, Lord. And your word gives life, and your word gives healing and strength to do and perform what you have called us to do. Father, in the name of Jesus, this morning I agree with your people. The area they are lacking in, the area where they need healing, the area in their life where they need to see your hand, Father. I ask you in the name of Jesus, let a miracle take place in their lives. Right now in Jesus' name, I speak healing over the bodies wherever there is sickness. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I speak healing right now. By your stripes, they are healed. By your stripes, they are healed. By your stripes, they were healed. In the name of Jesus, it's already done. It's already finished on the cross. 2,000 years ago, not only just 2,000 years ago, before the foundation of God, the world, the Lamb of God was crucified. And we thank you for the finished work on the cross, Father. I thank you for these dear lives. I pray that your people will rise up in commitment. Let many come to know you because of this house of God, because of your people in this place, because they will follow you and you will make them the fishers of men, Father. I thank you, Father God. And even as we learn from the life of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we have learned from your life of Daniel that how he didn't deny your name, even if it meant going into the lion's den. Father, they were not afraid to obey you. They were so committed and they said, no, God is able to save us. But even if he doesn't, we will still trust him. We will still obey him. We will still follow him. Paul said, for me to live is Christ and die is gain. Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for the people who have come forward, even if anyone given their life first time to the Lord, and by saying that, Lord, I trust you and I believe you died for me on the cross and you were raised from the dead. And Lord, forgive me of all my sins. I repent from old ways. And I have chosen to follow you rest of the days of my life. And thank you for those people who have made this commitment unto you and call unto you. And I thank you that by your blood their sins are washed, they are cleansed away, and they have received your Holy Spirit right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray, touch your people. Let your fire come upon them. Ignite fire in their heart to follow you and do whatever you have called to do. We will not just be a talkers all the time. We want to do what we say. We want to do what Lord has spoken. Sometimes we talk so many things, we do nothing. But we want to be a people who may talk less, but will do great and mighty things for the Lord, for his kingdom. Father, I pray, as you said, follow me. I will make fishers of men, and ask for your anointing to come upon them right now. In the name of Jesus, even as they share the gospel, let the power of Christ work through them and break every stronghold in people's minds in Jesus' name, and let them see and know that Jesus is Lord. I thank you for this time. We give you all the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you give the Lord a clap offering? Hallelujah. Thank you so much.
Praise God. We would like to give you an opportunity to bless our brother and sister. I'm going to ask the ushers to come down. We'd just like to receive a special offering that they can continue the beautiful ministry that God has called them to. Praise God. You know, there's so many around the world that are just touching lives, saving souls. And, what stood out to me in all that he shared is that God is in control. God has a bigger picture. God has a bigger plan. And you can see through the examples that sometimes we pray and someone's healed. Sometimes we pray and they're not healed. Sometimes we pray and they still die. But God has a big plan and the big picture. He's not going to do things our way. He's not a man that he should lie to us, and he's not a man and his ways are not our ways. Amen? And I thank God for that. Because we think we know what we need to do. We think we know what should happen. But we know so little. We know so little. Father, as we receive this special offering to bless our brother and sister, Father, I pray you multiply it, that they would be blessed. Father, that they would be able to continue their ministry around the world, Father, that many lives would be changed, many souls would be touched, and many more would come into the kingdom. Every single one that you've called will come in, Father. So we just thank you for their ministry and ask you to bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, guys. It's been a blessing to have you here with us this morning and just be able to worship with you. I know souls were touched and lives were changed, and it's always good to hear a different perspective and also to hear the testimony, the power in the testimonies of what God's doing around the world. How he could take someone, you know, that so lost, so unsure, doesn't know who God is, just knows that there is got to be a God out there. And, you know, we've heard that testimony over and over and over again. And it encouraged me, and I hope it encourages you, to just don't take your salvation for granted. Don't take it for granted. Keep plugging. Keep going after him. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you for what you've done. We thank you for how you've spoken through our brother. Father, and we thank you that we have had ears to hear what you wanted to say this morning. Now we give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As I said earlier, join us in the cafe. We have some refreshments, some cake. We want to celebrate some birthdays. Amen. Look forward to seeing you in there. God bless.